So I want to begin with chapter 41, verses 1 through 16. This is, hear now the word of the Lord. When two full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Verse 16, "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." And then we go to verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, so Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people who are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And then to verse 53 to the end. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians to go to Joseph and do what he tells you. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I remember telling someone that, or I remember someone telling me that they were a little disturbed that I prayed that God would afflict the comfortable. That was part of one of my prayers. And it seemed to go against everything we know about a God of love and peace and joy, that God would do the afflicting. And at first that seemed like a good challenge to me. Yeah, you're right. I wonder what that means or if that's good or not. But then I remembered all the testimonies that I would hear from people who said that they were going about their life, living their life of comfort and joy and not giving a thought about the afterlife or what happens after you die or God or how their actions affect other people until all of a sudden something happened to them. And maybe that was an ill child or a cancer diagnosis or the stock market crashed and they had to move and downsize life and whatnot. In other words, the awareness of God's presence didn't hit them until something else hit them first, right? Many people throughout the centuries believed that God had afflicted them because they believed strongly in the sovereignty of God. Of God is sovereign over all things. And the testimony of many is that God allowed something to happen to them in order that they might see the light, right? That they might wake up. That they might come to Christ, that trust God with their life and their futures. I'll admit, it sounds kind of harsh to pray that God would afflict the comfortable, but it might be just what we need sometimes to wake us up to the reality who is God. Harder yet might be to pray, God, afflict me when I'm too comfortable, when I forget that you're there. When I ignore you or think that I could go on in life without you or don't need you anymore, God, guide my steps. Afflict me if necessary. That's the harder prayer to pray. Sometimes I'm the one who needs to wake up to acknowledge God and God's ways in life and in the world. Well, I don't know if anybody prayed that God would afflict Pharaoh, but in verse 8 it says, in the morning after these dreams, his mind was troubled, in some translations say disturbed. Yours would be too if you had dreams of these cannibalistic cows eating each other, right? It's kind of a gross visual if you're a visual person. You're imagining that, right? You see, Pharaoh fancied himself to be divine and wanted everyone to know that, so he used these magicians to perform these tricks to make it look like he was doing these supernatural things, and he was able to manipulate other people this way, including leaders of other nations, and supposedly even other gods that were out there to keep the gods, keeping the cycle of life going, and of course Egypt being the agricultural powerhouse that they were in the day. But none of his magicians or wise men could interpret his dreams to his satisfaction, and the dreams disturbed him, they afflicted him, they seemed like a warning to him about something that was going to happen in the future, but he didn't know what. He had to find out. He just had to know. Here was something that he could not manipulate. He could not control, even with all of his staff of wise men. It's like having a sick child or a hurricane or a stock market crash, things outside of our control. But maybe you can minimize some of the risks in life, but you can't control the complete final outcome. And Pharaoh finds himself disturbed by this. Disturbed by his humanity, disturbed by out of his complacency, out of his life of comfort. And Joseph in our story is about to be remembered again. Remember, he was forgotten, been a couple years now, left in jail. Well, Joseph, of course, knows a little something about dreams. He's that lord of the dreams, right? He's the dreamer that his brothers called him sarcastically. He had that dream that apparently turned his siblings to the dark side, the dream of his brothers bowing down and serving them. So Joseph's brothers thought that they could control the outcome of life, that they were smart enough to make life turn out the way they wanted it to turn out, that they could manage their future outcomes completely. And so they throw Joseph into the pit and to leave him there and then to sell him into slavery. And throughout the different scenes of Joseph's life in Genesis, I think this is interesting. There are these wardrobe changes. All these clothing things that you see. You see fashion in these passages about Joseph. First is that technicolor dream coat that Daddy Jacob gave him when he was 17 years old, but his brothers took from him. Then there's the cloak that Potiphar gave him, but his wife took from him. And now the changes of clothes, he changes clothes again as he's taken out of prison. He shaves, it says, and he got a new change of clothes before he appeared before Pharaoh. His prison clothes are removed. And finally, he's given this royal robe, another robe, as the new prime minister of Egypt under Pharaoh. A lot of wardrobe changes. I heard in the news this week that Taylor Swift is now has this platform in the middle of her stage that lowers down so she could change her clothes, her outfits in the middle of a performance. So she doesn't have to go all the way back behind a screen or something to do that. They just lower her and she does her thing and brings her back up. So what I'm suggesting to the Building and Grounds Committee this morning is if there was something right about here, I could keep your attention more maybe, I don't know. No. Joseph's wardrobe changes took years, not seconds, right? It took Joseph some 13 years to put on his royal robes. Outfits are given to him and they're taken from him. He's been faithful in the little things throughout those years, and he's been prepared for this exact moment when he is going to be a blessing during a severe drought. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. We plan our life. We plan our course. We have a vision for where we want to be in 5 years, right? In their hearts, humans plan their course, Proverbs 16:9, but the Lord establishes their steps. The Lord establishes their steps. And in Amos 3:7, it says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Joseph is like a prophet. He's like an early prophet, revealing messages of God through people's dreams. And step one is to have a plan to save for those lean years according to that God-given vision. Joseph's step one is to save for those lean years. See, Joseph has a knack for dream and dream interpretation as a gift from God. And so word finally got back to Pharaoh of Egypt through that cupbearer who had forgotten Joseph for two long years, left him in that prison cell. So Pharaoh is having some very disturbing dreams, and Joseph is called out of his prison cell to help him interpret them. You remember the dream was about seven skinny cows, right? And seven fat cows, and seven healthy heads of grain, and seven thin or weak, sickly-looking pieces or heads of grain. So Joseph believes God has given him an interpretation. The number of cows and grain symbolically stand for years. There will be 7 years of abundance in the land, healthy cows, full heads of grain, and then 7 years of famine, skinny cows, thin heads of grain. Joseph comes up with a plan to provide for that time of famine. And Pharaoh likes his plan and puts him in charge of making his plan work for the whole nation. Now, Joseph's life, as we've been studying, has been one of tragedy and setback, but also success as he remains faithful to God and faithful to the little things throughout his life. He's testifying to God's presence and power even when he's in the pits. And God uses his suffering, the evil things that are happening to him, and his struggles in life in order to prepare him to be a huge blessing right on time. Joseph had learned a few things about those setbacks over life, over his lifetime so far, is that setbacks happen. They happen on a national level, a state level, a personal level. Joseph has learned the importance of saving for a rainy day when life has its ups and downs, because that's normal. That's normal for everyone. Things happen in life that are outside of our control. We can't do anything about it. But wisdom says, right, the brains that God gave us and God-given wisdom says that there are some things we can do today that may serve us well in our uncertain tomorrows. So the solution to Pharaoh's problem dreams is a no-brainer to Joseph. What do? Well, we save for the lean years. We don't spend and use up everything we get right away when we get our paycheck, right? The brakes in the car are going to go soon. We need to have some money to help with that. Joseph is going to help the whole country start a rainy day fund with his granaries. Or do we call them sunny day funds when it comes to a famine? I don't know. In verse 32, Joseph tells Pharaoh, the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. The matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. You see, just because God has destined that something will happen doesn't mean that humans do nothing. Let me say that again. Just because God has destined or predestined that something will happen doesn't mean that humans do nothing. Joseph says we must respond to this warning from God. And well, God's in a hurry here. He's going to do it soon, it says. Usually in the Bible, God's taking his sweet time, right? We can't do it fast enough for us. But it says here, he's going to do it soon. God's in a hurry. And if God's in a hurry, we must be in a hurry to do something to save lives, to respond. We must invest in disaster relief and preparedness, he says. Now, while things are going well. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fool gulps theirs down. Storing for the lean years is part of that wisdom that God has given us. Proverbs 30:25 talks about paying attention to those ants who store up food for the winter and are diligent workers. Joseph was making provision for the years that he knew were going to be lean. Those cannibalistic cows are coming. The lean years are coming. But during those 7 years of abundance, when the granaries were so full that they couldn't even keep inventory, it must have been tempting to sell that grain for the money or get really comfortable, thinking that, well, we're going to have an abundance of food and grain forever, that this is never going to end. We're just going to have all this great abundance forever. But he had to remember the dreams. He had to remember the warning. He had to keep using that wisdom God had given him. Even today, we know about bear markets and bull markets, recessions, expansions in the economy. We know that our economy doesn't continue to grow, never ending. And we know that jobs and companies don't last forever either. And for some of us, painfully so, right? We too have lean years in our markets and our economy and our family finances. And while even our financial planners today will tell us to be prepared for those lean years too. You see, Joseph had a plan to save for the future as God directed his steps, as he gave those dreams. Now, step one, step two of Joseph's plan is to put his plan into action, to put his plan into action. It's one thing to have a plan, to think up thoughts of being prepared, but it's another thing to actually do it, so to put his plan into action. In Genesis 41:41, it says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh made Joseph head of land management, vice president, prime minister, vice regent. He put the official government uniform on him, gave him control, the key to the government, the signet ring, put it on Joseph's finger so that he could do what he needed to do, what he wanted to do, and make things happen. He had him ride in his second-in-command chariot, the vice president's limousine, complete with Secret Service running ahead and shouting, get out of the way, get out of the way. Joseph was made the vice president of upper and lower granaries of Egypt. And this is a huge rags-to-riches story, right? But you know that he better be right about this interpretation. Here we have Pharaoh, like Joseph's brothers, who thinks he's in charge. Pharaoh thinks he can control the world. He can control the world to be exactly what he wants it to be, just if he puts the right person in charge, delegates the right person who has the most skills, makes the best decisions. Here we read about Pharaoh who changes Joseph's name, marries him to an Egyptian woman, changes his clothes, again with the clothes, right? And jewelry, puts jewelry on him, and even places him in a priestly family within Egypt. It's no wonder his brothers don't recognize him when they come for a visit. Pharaoh thinks he's making Joseph Egyptian. But we know that it's really God who is making Joseph into the man God wants him to be. Joseph is not Pharaoh's man. Joseph is God's man. And little does Pharaoh know that he's actually being used as a tool by God. In this case, he and the nation are tools God will use to bless his own people. Egypt and the surrounding nations are blessed by Joseph's ability to plan and prepare for the future. And the promise to Abraham is being fulfilled. The offspring of Abraham is being a blessing to all the nations. Now the point here, I think, is that God makes his plans happen through some of the most devastating of circumstances and can use anyone to make his plans happen and succeed. Even a suffering, rejected, sold to slavery, forgotten Joseph, or a hard-hearted Pharaoh who thinks he's a god of some kind. Maybe God can use you and me too, as he's working through us to make his plans happen. God is the one in charge of all the nations, of all the kings of the world and people of different religious persuasions. God holds the future in his hands, and no one can manipulate that. So now, Joseph is 30 years old, right? Verse 46 says, Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence, traveled throughout Egypt, and during the years of abundance, it says he collected the food produced and stored it in cities. In verse 49, it says there were huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. Have you heard that before? Abraham was going to have descendants like the sand of the seashore. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Life was good during those years. Food was plentiful. Joseph had children named during this time as well, but he named them with meanings like these. God has made me forget all my troubles, Manasseh. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering, Ephraim. He hasn't forgotten the hard times, being thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, being brought up on false charges of rape. He hasn't forgotten about all that, but he recognizes that God has blessed him in the land of his suffering, in the times of his suffering, in the lean years. God was there too, right? Not just when we were wealthy and healthy and successful. God's there in the lean years as well. And the moment of abundance, at that moment of abundance, there's nothing to fear and worry about. The cupboards or the bank accounts are full, the job is secure, the family is growing. But Joseph and Pharaoh know that a time would be coming when things will be very different. So now, especially while things are going well, Joseph was preparing for that very different future, for the lean years, the rainy days, the contingency of famine in the land. Especially so since God's the one who gave him the warning that this was to come. This is about to happen. So then the famine hit, right? And all of a sudden, the surrounding nations are experiencing this famine as well. It's not just Egypt. The dryness, the crop failure, the lack of water, the searing sun, not just for one season, 7 years of it, right? But it says in verse 54, in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. There was food. When the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, what? Go to Joseph. Do what he tells you to do. Go to that VP of land management. Go to that dreamer, the one who's been preparing for this future all along. And all the world, verse 57 says, came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. Joseph had a plan. He saved for the future, and he put his plan into action and saved many lives. He was a blessing to many nations. So we praise God this morning. We praise God that he's able to take our suffering, our setbacks, the evil experiences that we've had in this life, and to use them and turn them to good, like he did in Joseph's life. Joseph is no longer that tattle-telling daddy's boy who never seemed to know when to be quiet. No, he's grown up some, right, through his life and through these experiences that he's had, the struggles and the hardships he's been through. He's gained some wisdom. He's wise beyond his years now. He's grown in character. God has disturbed his pride and his arrogance as a young man. You might say God afflicted him. We've also seen how God disturbs Pharaoh's pride and arrogance as king of Egypt and how God brought these two together. Only God is God. Only God knows the future. God disturbed Pharaoh out of his complacency, out of his pride, and Pharaoh was awakened to see that there is one more powerful than he, one more very powerful than he is, who will not be manipulated, the God of the heavens and the earth, the one and true living God, the creator of all. So Joseph was a good prophet. Joseph was a good leader under the king. But I know of a better one. I know of a better one. Jesus is the greatest prophet and king. Like Joseph, Jesus was humiliated before he was exalted. Jesus was faithful and true. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he brings salvation to the ends of the earth, to all nations. People of all nations are drawn to him by the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we see that throughout the New Testament of the Bible, but also through the church today, as the church continues to grow and to spread and to make disciples into disciple makers who make more disciples, right? More followers of Jesus. In Genesis, the promise to Abraham is being fulfilled, and through Jesus, that promise is being ultimately fulfilled. Praise be to God for that. We praise God for our own times of abundance, when we have those wonderful, successful years, and we trust him for those times of scarcity, those lean years we have. We thank him for giving us the ability to think, to use the minds he's given us, to prepare and to save, but also to give generously, even as we trust and pray and worship at the same time. So may God continue to give us wisdom today and tomorrow and into our futures, to his glory and praise, fulfilling that great commission as we grow disciples into disciple makers. Would you pray with me? God of provision, we thank you for the gift of the mind and the gift of forethought. Thank you for the many ways that you provide for us, food, clothing, shelter, and the community we experience right here this morning. You work through our efforts of preparation and saving too. Thank you for the wise men and women in positions of leadership in our nation, in our state, in our city, and in our churches. Thank you for those who think about such things like emergency management and plan for disaster response, for the Red Cross, FEMA, and for World Renew. And we continue to pray for many in Florida and other states reeling from multiple hurricanes this fall. God, we are blessed to have so much and to be in a nation such as ours. Grant us all wisdom in caring for ourselves and our families now and into the future. And give us generous hearts to help others in need. And may we be blessed as we trust in you and continue to grow in our trust and our faith that knows that no matter what, you are in control. You, Lord, are sovereign, and the future is in your hands. We lift these prayers now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.